The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. Can we declare the word of understanding as we begin to study, as we usually do? Want to let go. Now I declare that the Lord has given me the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. In all spiritual wisdom and understanding. As a result of this, I'm walking in a manner worthy of the Lord. I'm pleasing Him in all respects. I'm bearing fruit in every good work. And I'm increasing in the knowledge of God. Now again, I incline my ears to His word. The word is entering my heart. It's giving me light and direction. It's healing me in every area. And it's making me more and more like the Lord Jesus. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
I said amen.
Amen.
Can you bless somebody on your left or your right before you sit down? Tell the person, understanding is coming to you again today. Tell the person it is well with you as a result of the entrance of the Word of God. That the Holy Spirit will speak to you. He will enlighten your heart. He will give you direction. Bless somebody. Bless somebody. That's what I said. Tell the person is coming to you. The favor of God. The spirit of favor is coming to you. The Word will speak to you today. The Holy Spirit will speak to you today in the name of Jesus. I want somebody to open his heart. The Holy Spirit will mention your name today in the name of Jesus. You will leave here not thinking that, was he talking to me? You will know. Yes, and you will make that crucial decision that you've not been so sure of. And it will be pleasing to God in the name of Jesus Christ. Today we'll be continuing what we have been studying about. We are calling this series Christ's Message to His Church. And let's start again from 1 Corinthians chapter 11 that we read last time. And then we'll now go to Revelations chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Now just look at what we read last time from there. Paul was speaking about people not discerning the body, and that was manifesting in how they handled the matter of the communion table. But we're not speaking about the communion table or the body of Christ now. What we picked from it last time is what I just want to review. And that was talking about judging. He said from verse 29, let me just start from verse 28. But the man must examine himself, and in so doing, he is to eat of the bread and drink of the cup. I read that because of the word examine himself, or the expression. But he who eats and drinks judgment to himself if he does not judge the body rightly. For this reason, many among you are weak and sick, and a number sleep. Now notice verse 31. But if we judge ourselves rightly, we will not be judged. But when we are judged, we are disciplined by the Lord so that we will not be condemned along with the world. Let me just stop reading there. We read this last time and explained extensively. There are three levels of judgment. Looking in this context, one, we can judge ourselves. You can talk to yourself. You can listen to correction from your friends. You can decide to examine yourself. Please, if you haven't read the book, I really seriously recommend you read it, Guided by the Spirit. You can settle down and say, why am I doing what I'm doing? What is pushing me? Because many times people are saying that the Holy Spirit spoke to them. Holy Spirit said, I have not said anything to you in the last 6 years. Me and you don't talk. Not because I don't like to talk to you, but because you don't listen. It is not everything that God wants to say that we are able to hear. There are times He wants to say something, but what He wants to say is so contrary to what we want to hear, that our hearts shut off that communication and we can't receive it. And as I wrote the book, Guided by the Spirit, I just wanted Christians to understand again that being led, when the Bible says, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. It is very, very wrong the way we interpret it generally. That if the Holy Spirit is speaking to you, you are a son of God. We even said it's a mark of maturity for you to be able to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. There's nothing like that. Samuel heard it when he couldn't recognize it. Do you understand my point? It's not a matter of mark of spirituality at all. You see visions and you dream dreams and God speaks to you clearly, just means you are called. It doesn't mean that you are spiritual. A lying prophet, God spoke to him. Balaam loved money, God still spoke to him. So get that clear. So people said, okay, what does it mean to be the son of God? You are led, Holy Spirit leads you. My son, arise. Thou shalt wear a fine blue dress today. I'm talking to this guy. You get to my point. My son, arise. Thou shalt wear a fine white shirt. I'm talking to myself. The Lord is good. And people say, oh, that's spiritual. And you hear people say some annoying things about God. My wife was telling me about the man of God that was preaching where she was. And the man said, I talked to God. Though. I said, God, can you please explain yourself? That kind of thing you are saying, me, I don't like it. I said, don't lie, you're not talking to God. Don't lie, you're not talking to God. Even Jesus never spoke to him like that. Who on God's earth do you think you are? Think you are anointed. You're not anointed, you are stupid. If indeed the Lord was speaking to you, there are words you don't use. I told the Lord, no, that thing you are saying, me, I don't understand. Start again. It means you are sure it's not the Lord. You are sure? He was like, how can you say? I heard something. The first time I heard it, I was like, oh, they said that sister has such a close relationship with the Holy Spirit. What did they mean? She just began on the road. That is so close to the Holy Spirit. Sometimes you just hear her say, how can I tell you to do that kind of thing? I can't do it too. As young as I was, I said, forget that. That girl is not hearing the Holy Spirit. Even if you want to disobey the Holy Spirit, you look for a ship going to Tarshish. You don't tell him. Are you getting my point?
Yes, sir.
Enter the boat and go to Tarshish. You will enter in the water, you know, fish is going to swallow you. But at least you disobeyed. You satisfy yourself, say, brethren, today I disobeyed God. But I just be telling God, say, no, that thing you are saying, yeah, I don't understand it too. It means you are sure your own heart is talking to you. Or demons are playing with you. Now, back to what I was saying. So, people think that's what it means to be led by the Spirit. But that's not what it means. Please go and read my book. I can't preach the message now. Guided by the Spirit. What I try to explain in that book is that when the Bible says as many as are led by the Spirit of God, when the Bible said that, what it meant is that what is propelling you. Like I heard Pastor Okemute preaching earlier, praying earlier, that people are propelled by different things. So what it says is that there is the propulsive force that comes out of God. That is what they call the Spirit of God. For example, you will hear that compassion moved Jesus. That is, he was led by compassion. That's the Spirit of God. The Spirit that was in Jesus was the Spirit of obedience. The Spirit of the fear of God. The Bible says that you have the spirit of wisdom, the spirit of understanding. You understand? It talked about the spirit of the fear of God. He will not judge according to the hearing of his ears and the seeing of his eyes. With righteousness he will judge. So know what he's talking about? The spirit. The spirit inside him was spirit of what? Understanding. The spirit of wisdom. The spirit of counsel. Are you getting my point? So that when you look at a situation, he will judge based on the understanding of the word of God. They say, oh, he's led by the Spirit of God. He will judge it based on divine wisdom. That's what it means to be led by the Spirit. It doesn't mean you know how to hear voices. That is the confusion in Christianity. Everybody tells you God said to them. You hear it every day. You hear it every day. And then God spoke to me. Believe me, 99 times out of 100 you hear that God said nothing. To anybody. People do what they want to do, and it is right for you to do what you want to do. It's your life. Just make sure that what you want to do, you've trained yourself, because that's how life is. It's training. Life is about training. Occasionally, I've decided to taste beer to see why people drink it. I sat down, give me 2 bottles. That's a joke. That's a joke. But I've tried before. Let me see, why do people like to drink this thing? I tasted it. It tasted F-O-U-L in my mouth. So I said, maybe there's something. Then like years will pass. All right? I will try it again. That maybe I had malaria that last time. Then after a number of times, I made up my mind there's nothing inside this thing. So one day I was talking with my colleagues in the office. I said, why do people drink beer? No, they were talking. Like, at this kind of time, the evening, you now go. They give you chilled, you know, star, Gouda. So I was like, what is in it? I was just saying to one of them. He now said to me, he said, Oga, it's a taste you learn. You didn't learn it at the time. That's where I'm going. He said, the beer taste is an acquired taste. It's not inherently sweet. Sweet taste is something we grow up with. That one is in it. He said, but that taste of beer is something you needed to learn. He said, you didn't learn it. I said, you are one person that has finally explained this thing to me. Because I used to wonder. You see human beings sit down and they are drinking beer. Now I understand why they drink beer. So I don't quarrel anymore. And I thank God, the Lord, that I did not learn the taste. Because you don't learn some things as old men. That is what the Bible means when it says being led by the Spirit. It is not as if you have practiced how to hear the Spirit of God. Now that's why I went into that. It means that you have learned to examine yourself. That's why I'm talking about it. Why am I doing what I'm doing? You must learn to pray a prayer. We say, search me, O Lord, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxious thoughts. Check whether there's any hurtful thing in me. One of the things I have learned is that if somebody comes to me, like somebody, people still call my wife the last few days, inviting you for a program. My wife said, if it's network marketing, count me out. I tell people, look, there are little things you use to put your life in order. If the only thing that's making you do something is the money you have to gain, don't worry. The Lord didn't speak to you about it. You don't need to pray more than that. There are multiple streams of income. A lot of times, it's nothing but multiple streams of covetousness. Yeah, for many people, that's all it is. The exalting of multiple streams of income is nothing but covetousness in the society. We talk about it all the time. We won't give our pulpits out to it. We don't emphasize productivity and being a blessing to people. What we concern ourselves about is multiple streams of income. That is why, when they tell you that, on this, you know, they keep on coming every time. This is how to, you know, organo gold, Bitcoin, gold coin, mine coin, eat coin. Your money is being coined. Trust me. Someone, woman, the other day, said, no, I know what I'm doing. You know, this kind of thing. I know what I'm doing. I have a PhD. I can analyze. I said, that's pride, you see. Your money is going. I plan to ask that woman in 2 years' time, Madam PhD, what happened to your money? The money is going. You know, look, there are things you just know. Your money has gone. It won't come back. It will not come back. And now they sit you down and tell you that you invested in coin that's on somebody's server and you believe it. Now you get a problem. Nobody person will sell that to you. People believe all kinds of nonsense. You say, eh? I'm just coming from the seminar. That's why God brought you here. That's why God brought you here. He wants to deliver you. Your money will soon leave you if you are not careful. And why will your money leave you? You're always pursuing the quick gain. Quick gain. Let me tell you the truth. The world has glorified quick gain. They glorify it all the time. Somebody said something to my wife once. Come and hear how I changed 1,200 naira to 100,000 naira in 8 weeks. My wife replied, he said, that's quick money. I'm not interested in it. You shouldn't be interested. When you hear it, tell them I'm not interested. Once you hear it, because God says hate such things. God commands you to hate quick gain. God says, you don't like it. The world glorifies it. The Lord says, you must dislike the concept. That's what the Lord commanded. That a Christian must despise the concept of quick gain. If a man comes and says, let me speak to you guys. In 1 month, I went from nothing to becoming a multi-millionaire. Tell him I'm not interested in hearing it. In 1 month, tell the fellow, in 2 months, you'll be back to less than what you began from last month. Tell the person, trust me. People who have wealth that endures, They've been building for a long time. You only discovered them in 1 month. And you think that's when they began. Now, I'm talking about when the Bible said, you should do what? Examine ourselves. That's why I'm just using as an example. So you ask yourself, why am I doing what I'm doing? Why am I doing what I'm doing? There are those who change jobs every day. Just a 10% increase, they've gone. Those days in banking, they tell me that's the quickest way to move forward. When I was in the young man in Lagos, those days, my friends were young bankers. And I said, this is not the principle of faithfulness. It's not the principle of faithfulness. It is not the principle of faithfulness. I don't care. You see, you must understand that God is always testing you with things. Every day, God is testing you with things. Every day. Every day, life is a test. Many people make quick money. And God shook his head and said, this one won't go far. Can't trust him. So don't be disappointed with yourself. When your friend said, do this, you said, I'm not doing. Then the other people did it and they made millions. Just go back and ask yourself, why did I not do it? If your reason is still valid, then you made the right decision. You must understand that God does not judge success in life by how much money you made. You'll see as we go on. Some people were said to be poor. Jesus said, you don't know that you are rich. And I said, they were very rich. Happening church. And Jesus said, you don't know. That's what he said. You don't know how poor you are. You're a very poor group of people. Yet, when you saw them after service, those days, assuming it was today, they would have fleets of cars outside. Their elders were driving limos. Every holiday, pastor goes to sleep in UK. Finish service on Sunday, said, man, that was a stressful service. They book him a flight for night. We travel to London, sleep for 2 days, come back for service on Wednesday. And Jesus is just looking at them and saying, these are very poor people. And believe me, whatever Jesus says about you is the correct thing. If you are very tall, Jesus says you are short, believe him. You know why he said it? He knows where height counts. If you think you are very fine, Jesus said, you are a devil, you resemble. And believe him. When you see all these magazines, let me give an example. As an example, there was a time we glorified, that the world glorified, and there are things I don't buy. They glorified this, you know, models, very thin and aesthetic look. At a point in time, I think in France, they tried to ban it. That one, you mustn't use models like that on the cover of your magazines anymore. I don't know whether the legislation worked. What is the reason? They say you are teaching the young girls a wrong thing. Why? Because those girls are not healthy. Medically, we know that they are not healthy. So the world says you are fine. The doctor says, okay, you are not fine. That's what I mean. Because we know what counts. So when Jesus looks at you and says, you are poor, believe it, you are poor. If you don't, if you argue with him too much, you know what he will do? He will say, okay, one day he'll put you in a situation where you need real money. And you'll have millions of dollars and it will not be able to solve your problem. Say, can you see how poor you are? After all, we don't eat money. We used to buy things that we need. Is that not so? Then one day he'll give you something you really need. Say, pay for it. Now, are you getting my point here? So in life, don't judge yourself the way the world judges. Don't. Don't let them persuade you. The world tells, you know, they tell silly stories that irritates the Lord. Mark Zuckerberg, is it Zuckerberg or Zuckerberg? How did you pronounce that guy's name? Mark Zuckerberg. So at the age of, how old is he now? Okay. At the age of 28, he was a billionaire. At the age of 30 or 31, he was the fifth richest man in the world. What are you still doing where you are? Answer them. I am where the Lord kept me. He said, occupy till I come. He said, a man's life does not consist in the abundance of things which he possesses. Don't disturb my soul. Tell them. At the age of 79, Moses was a shepherd. frustrated shepherd, stammering shepherd, fugitive shepherd. But God had to bury him in secret. Otherwise, Israel would have embalmed him and worshipped his dead body. God had to bury Moses in secret. He didn't let him die in the camp. These boys are coming from Egypt. People who died Moses' time, we are still seeing their bodies are still in museums till today. What I was saying, they've learned embalmment from Egypt. They will tell you this is the tomb of Tutankhamun. They will find the poor guy's body, thousands of years old. This is Queen Nefertiti. They'll find all kinds. No, just watch this Egyptian stuff. God said, if I let these people find Moses' body, I will need ISIS to blow the tomb. You know, that's what. You don't know, human beings can worship. I found out recently that ISIS, you know, God gives everybody an assignment. ISIS finally blew the tomb of Jonah, the tomb of Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. They finally blew the tomb this last year. Many of those Muslim shrines, they were the shrines built over the tomb of Jonah in your Bible. And God said, I won't risk it. What am I talking about? So honored was Moses that if God didn't do that, Israel would have worshipped Moses. Yet, at the age of 79, he was nothing. At the age of 80, God called him and said, now let's return to Egypt. Let's begin to work. He got to a time, you know, even God said to Moses, you are now a god to Pharaoh. Aaron is your prophet. You are a god now. That is, God called Moses a god. A frustrated shepherd at the age of 79. I don't care about Mark Zuckerberg. He should go away. My name is not Mark Zuckerberg. What I'm trying to say, look, listen. So don't. That's the wrong spirit. The world will be pushing you with the wrong spirit. You be on an agenda that God didn't set for you. Let me try and steal my message for today, please. I'm not even reading. I'm just trying to review. So you examine your spirit. So Paul said, examine yourself. Examine yourself. The other day, one church, let me just mention names now. No, let me mention him now. No, let me not mention him. No, let me just mention the name. I don't even know you. It's Winners Chapel. Bishop Oyedepo gave a time that he wants all his pastors to hold a university degree. When time was up, he sacked every pastor that did not have a university degree. And of course, some people dragged the matter to court. Why? Because they made a lot of sacrifices. Because then, one of the things in Winners then is that your wife can't work because you can be moved anytime. You can wake up one morning, letter has come, you are resuming, you're in Enugu, you are resuming now in Bauchi. You get up and you move. And Bishop doesn't like men separating from their wives. So a lot of people have paid, they have made a lot of sacrifices to remain in the mission. My friend Pastor Corey said something when they were making a lot of noise. So a lot of people were angry. But he said something. Of course, as ministers, we'll discuss all of those things. He said, it's okay now to be making noise. He said, ask yourself what you were doing there in the first place. Why were you so? He said, many people were looking for security. Yes. He said, if you were called, go and preach. Has this stopped you from preaching? He said, if you were called, go and preach. Let us know you were called. You were looking for what to hide. They remove your canopy. Now you are making noise. Yeah. He said, if you are called, go and start preaching. I know when a man like him talks, you can't argue. Because he was called. And he went and started preaching. With no canopy from anybody. Why am I talking about it? He said, examine your spirit. If you're going to read the book of Malachi, it said, take heed to your spirit. That is one job you must do as a believer. You are a single guy. You see one sister for church. You want to marry her. There's no problem. I mean, you have to marry somebody. But the Bible says, examine your spirit. Why is it? You say, anytime I remember, see her, she reminds me of Kim Kardashian. You are going to hellfire. You get my point here. Examine your spirit. You know the truth? If you will settle down and pray and ask the Lord questions, he will reveal things to you. If you really settle down, really settle down and pray, Lord, I'm about to do this. What am I trying to achieve? What is pushing me? That's what it means to be led by the Spirit of God or otherwise. Many people are led by the competitive spirit of this world. Me too, I must make it. You know, when people are making decisions a lot of times, I feel sorry for it. Look, say, does God want me? I say, listen, settle down. Take time out. When you are praying, God, do I want to go? Listen. Just ask God, what is pushing me? One of them, you know, many times we take God's glory and dash it to other, you know, other gods. Why are you relocating from Nigeria? You want to go to North America? You want to go to Europe? You see, because of the future of my children, you have just insulted the good Lord. One of the worst insults you can give him. There are things you don't say in his hearing. What's the future of my children depends on the physical environment, even though I know the spiritual environment is bad. I don't care about it as long as the roads are good and they have a good social security system. Derek Prince said something. He said Lot took his wife, took his people into Sodom and Gomorrah, but he could not bring them out. He said, be careful that you, Derek Prince, not me. He said, be careful that you don't take people into places you can't bring them out of. Because Sodom penetrated the lives of those people. What am I trying to say? Sometimes when we want to make those decisions, if you just be honest. Let me tell you something about the Lord. If you think bad thoughts, tell him. Do you know why? What you call thoughts is megaphone usage in the spirit. You're on FM. Isiness interviewing you. You don't know. And all the angels are listening to the broadcast. You think you are thinking. The Lord said, what do you think? He said, nothing. That, in fact, the angels will look at you, pinch you, say, oh boy, confess, we all heard it. Even we heard it. Read. No one tell you to read a book. Try. Rejoin has said it. You get the realm of the spirit, what you think is thought. In, look, and that's why what you call the word of God. What you call the word of God. It's not actually word the way you think about. Well, there are two. There's logos, there's rhema. Okay? What you call the word logos is actually a summary of God's thoughts, God's plan, everything put together, what they call the word. Even things that is supposedly has not been uttered is called the word of God. Why? Because for him, thinking and saying, the same thing. What am I saying? The deepest thoughts of your heart, this is the truth. He hears them more clearly than you know them. That is, there are things you are thinking. Things are forming your opinion, your behavior, your decision-making process, things that have taken charge of your life. He can see them clearly. But you have suppressed them to the bottom. So that you need somebody to come and do a psychoanalysis on you to tell you what you are thinking. But the Lord knows it clearly. That was why David made it a prayer point in Psalm 139. Lord, search me. Know my heart. He knew God knew it, but when he said, Lord, search me and know my heart, what was he trying to say is that demonstrate what is inside there for me. So when you want to pray that very important prayer. Lord, this is why I'm doing what I'm doing. That's what I think. But what is the real reason? Pray, take a day or two to know your reason. And if the reason is bad, open your mouth and say, Lord, this is the reason. It doesn't sound good though. It's called confession. What am I saying? That's level one. We began that last time. He said we must examine ourselves. Because level two is the next thing that happens when you don't examine yourself. What is level two? That is, you don't judge yourself. All right? Level two is what? God now judges. And when God judges, Paul had to explain that, don't mind, Densha, it's for your own good, because it's not nice. God's judgment in that context is equivalent to flogging. It hurts. Disappointments, loss of money, loss of time, loss of relationships, sometimes bodily ailments. You see that in context. So for this reason, many are sick and weak amongst you. And he said, it gets to a point, many even sleep. And that's Paul's way of saying many pass on and what we call die. That's how Paul says it. He said, even that one is good. Because if some people are so stubborn and they don't listen, they may have to be judged with the world. And now, so that's what that's the foundation we laid last time. I just felt like, it just happened that I expanded that portion of examining yourself. You must examine yourself. You want to, you want to start a new relationship with somebody. What are you trying to do? You want to start a new business? Why? You want to change your job? Why? You want to change location? Why? Pray about it. That is examining yourself. Many times while you are doing that, God will say, boy, no need to leave that place. What is punishing you is not the location. It's a wrong spirit. One day I was talking with somebody, all right? One of our brothers, they say, I want to start this business. I want to start this business, but things have not been working. And I told the person, I said, listen, you know why things have not been working? Every business I do, they don't seem to work. I said, because God is saying to you, the problem you have is not more money. It's not the need for more money. It's not lack of money. That you are trying to use apply a physical solution to a spiritual problem. Then there are times you will tell God, I need more money, so I want to start this business. God says, you don't need more money. If you know what God calls covetousness, you'll be surprised. If you know what he calls covetousness, you'll be surprised. Not liking your phone and liking the one somebody else has is called covetousness. Let me tell you the opposite of covetousness is contentment. That's the opposite of covetousness. So many times God tells people that you don't need more money. You need more spiritual sense. Every day you've been there applying for a new job. There are good lucrative jobs you have been given. That is, as far as everything was concerned, it was yours. The day you were supposed to resume or give them acceptance letter that you've accepted, that was the day it rained heavily and washed off part of the road. It was the day the road was blocked everywhere. So you couldn't get there that day. It rained the following day. You couldn't get there too. Finally, you got there 2 days late. They say, we thought you were not interested in giving somebody else. You are looking like, no, it's not possible. You did not give that job to somebody else. The man just said, look, did we not tell you latest by Friday? He said, we thought you didn't need it. That's how you young men are. You write 10 applications. He said, oh, God, you didn't write 10. I wrote only one. He said, why didn't you come? It rained. Are you the only one that rained in the house? These other people, it rained too. Where did they live? It's not the same Enugu they live. When such things happen, it's not the devil. It's not your ancestral spirit. It's not ancestral anything. Only Jesus does such things to good children that are very, very stubborn. What am I trying to say? It gets to such things once in a while. God is saying to you, listen, the thing you are trying to solve is not a physical problem. It's a spiritual problem. I told my brother that day, I said, forget solving it physically. Realize that it's a spiritual problem. That God is saying to you, you don't need more money. I want you to learn to manage the one you have. And let me tell you something about life. God is more interested in our spiritual traits than the things we have outwardly. For example, when you have trials, God said it is called purifying your gold. So you can run away from the trials, which means your spiritual resources, your spiritual treasure is dirty. Or you can withstand the trial, learn all your lessons, and come out of it purified. You get the point here? You come out purified. And for God, he said, that is more precious than gold, which perishes. Listen, in life, handle life like that. Every challenge, you are good on the road. Suddenly, your tire blows or your gasket burns. Which kind of fridge mechanics do we have these days? The fuel in this country is not good. The problem now is that, just wait there. Put off the engine. Before you talk, lean back. Father, I thank you. Take like 10 minutes and worship. Thank God well. Do you know why? You are being tested. That trial is a test. You are being purified. Oh, but where I was rushing to, you know, some people still think God does business. What I mean by does business is that if I get there on time, I make a million. He knows I will give our church 10%, which is how much? 100,000. God knows I've pledged another 100,000 for the special building project. And God knows that because our pastor's been preaching, I pledged another 100,000 for him. And God knows that, you know, there's this motherless baby home, baby's home down the road. I pledged another 100,000. God knows. So you actually think God is waiting for 400,000. So as you are going about, you feel like, God, you know, say, your court is setting. I always tell people, God is not a mafia don. If I forget mafia, this is Nigeria. He's not a bank manager. That's more appropriate, you know that. His job does not depend on how much target they meet. Say, all these angels, go and meet your target, too. Otherwise, I will sack somebody. No, God is not like that. You know that we still have that reason. So we are so sure that my car will not spoil. You understand my point? You are so certain because God knows what you want to do with the money. What you don't realize, that your 1 million, spiritually speaking, is less than... Now listen to this. That your 1 million, spiritually speaking, now, let me give you a cost, the value. Solomon in all of his glory, that is, Solomon fully decked, was cheaper than a flower. That is, if I pluck a hibiscus by the roadside, a rose flower, if we check the value, it's much more expensive than Solomon with his crown on his head. Now, in today's currency, you can't buy what Solomon's crown would have been like for $20 million. No, you couldn't buy it. Because it was pure gold studded with precious and rare gemstones. So God is saying, listen to me. Compare your 1 million naira with the cost of one flower. See my value for 1 million? Are you getting my point? So, but then, the trial I'm taking you through, your faith that I'm purifying is more precious than gold. You are getting the point I'm making here? So that's why God doesn't, you lose money, it doesn't mean anything to him. Material things, the Lord doesn't, oh God, if I tell you this, you'll be surprised. He doesn't care. They built a magnificent temple. They said the temple, the pedestal on which it stood those days, could take, I think, 8 of our modern cathedrals. 8 of them was what Solomon's temple stood on. It was the talk of the world. Everybody came to see Solomon's temple. And you know what God used to do with it? When they annoy him, he breaks it. He will burn it. Strip everything off it. It to him, it didn't have any serious value in itself. Are you getting my point here? So the Lord said, look, okay, you are good on the way. Your car burns, you know, burns. I have seen cars burn before. Have you seen cars burn? Yes, when cars burn, they burn. The one that I saw that day, I still remember very well, was a brand new Land Cruiser. You know what I found about Land Cruisers that day? They are not fire resistant. Not now. That car is almost 40 something million now. But those days, this was long ago, it was still 15 million thereabout. I told my wife, I said, see 15 million. I tapped, I said, my wife, see 15 million. She said, where is it? See it now. Can't you see that 15 million burning? But as far as God is concerned, that's a matchstick. Somebody just, it's nothing. But it says that what is inside your heart is more valuable. Are you getting my point here? Yeah, to him it's much more valuable. So he can wipe out a car 14, 15, 20, 40 million naira to teach you a simple lesson on patience. The car is 50 million. He burns it to teach you a lesson on patience. He can burn it to teach you a lesson on how to prioritize expenditure. When you're putting money together to buy that car, he showed you some other things that are important. You decided that let me buy this car first. Because for God, all that matters. That word first, it matters with him. What you put first. Seek you first. That's what he says. Let me first go and bury my father. Those are the things that Jesus concerns about first. So he put something as first. God says, oh, this boy, this girl doesn't get it. This shouldn't have been first. So he finished doing it and he burns it down. It's a house, it's a car, it's something. The next time you learn a lesson, on what should be what? First. And to him, that's a good deal. I don't know whether you're getting what I'm saying, where I'm going. To him, oh, that we just me and my friend and I, that's my son and I just did a business. And then you say, oh, how was it? It was good. How much did you guys make? We made a new purification of gold concerning his patience and ability to prioritize. And then you say, wow, dear Lord, you are a good business God, businessman. You know, God, you know, you're healing Jesus like this for his business that he did with you. But physically speaking, your friends come and say, Pele. Your friends are looking and say, sorry, you lost a car of 45 million naira. What happened? Is insurance going to pay? Ah, you are thinking, it was the day before we perfected the deal or deed or whatever. I was supposed to sign a document next day and finally pay one particular amount for full comprehensive coverage. So are you okay? Summarize. Is it that there's no insurance coverage? Say, my guy, Bill, I say there's no insurance coverage. Yo. He says, sorry, oh, eh? Ndo, Pele, God is able to restore. Don't worry. We won't die for it. Then they start quoting scripture they themselves don't believe. It's true, they start quoting scripture that they don't believe. Weeping may endure for a night. Joy comes in the morning. Now, why are you telling me, Pele, if you are so sure? It will go, do you understand? I don't know, but God is saying, that was a good deal, very good deal. That was a fantastic deal. Jesus is beating his chest, saying, man, we just finished one transaction and it was good. What's the transaction? We bought an ordinary car of 45 million to get this guy to understand priorities in life. And he has gotten the point. They say, oh, and everybody's rejoicing in heaven. That's why the church was rich. Jesus said, you are very poor. And the church physically was poor. Jesus said, you are very, very rich. So I summarize it like this. With God, spiritual blessings are much more important. No, spiritual lessons, I wanted to say, are much more important than material blessings. That's how it is with God. Spiritual lessons are more important than material blessings. God can take precious things away from you to help you get a little point. Because for him, what you call precious is not worth one flower of the field. It's not worth it. He says Solomon in all of his glory, fully arrayed, was not worth as much as one flower of the field that lasts for 24 hours. But spiritual traits he puts in you, he said they are more precious than what? Gold, which perishes. So for him, it's a good business. But then when the business turns bad, this is when the business is bad. The thing gets destroyed, the car finishes burning, and you won't finish talking about it. Ah! Have you heard what happened? All my enemies, they say I will not succeed. Then they came. I was on my way to Onitsha that day. Then they came. When they came, what I have seen in this life. My God will avenge me. They came. What did they do when they came? Were they armed robbers? No, if they were robbers, even we would call police. They were witches. They cut my fuel pipe. The car just caught fire. We just managed, my wife and I just managed to escape. Human beings are wicked. And God says, that was a bad deal. This boy has learned nothing. We burnt this car for nothing. So let's burn another car. And for many people, God won't finish burning. Trust me, I know what I'm telling you. Because once he gives up on you, you're dead meat. So he will burn the car. As you are whining and complaining, he removes the roof of the house in the village. The car burns in the afternoon. The roof is removed by midnight, by a storm. Then godly erosion starts digging the back of the compound in the village. And you will not hear for 2 days. Though. As people are still consoling you, your mother calls. If I rush, come. When you get there, I've been trying to call you. See, I put off my phone because I was mourning the loss of my car. Oh, you lost your car? What happened? Since the time the roof went off, it has been raining constantly. So your 1 million naira flat screen television, curved 72 inch, you know those ones with 3D glasses. Rain has soaked all of it. And the Lord is waiting for you to say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Then you say, no, these witches won't leave me alone, sir. Burn another one, or we must pour something else. Are you getting my point? He's very patient, too. There are people that God is on their case like that. After that, some time, they fall sick. They diagnose one sickness. They are in hospital. And they will now be getting foolish people to come and pray for them. All the witches that want to kill him, he's going to die. Trust me. But before he dies, God will say, what do you have to say? Lord, I'm so sorry. I know I didn't serve you very well. I said, good. So I want to be sure that you are making it to a good side of heaven. I'm telling you. Just before he dies, when he will repent of all his whining and complaining against God, he will now die. Nobody say no good die. They will now bury him. And the whole world will mourn him. He'll get to heaven. He will, trust me. That's where God was going. I told you, listen, if Jonah, what I'm telling you is not a joke. If Jonah did not start with thanksgiving, the fish will have digested him. Go and read your Bible well. I preached a message on Jonah before. If Jonah didn't start with thanksgiving, the fish will have digested him. It was a process. It was stage one deliverance. If the guy had opened his mouth and said, Lord, I cried for deliverance. You put me in this black place. Don't forget, there was no electricity in the fish belly. Oh, you know that? Jonah was in the pitch darkness. I'm not even sure he knew he was a fish. He was just somewhere. But just then, I'm aware. I'm aware of myself. I'm not dead. He was feeling movement. Ah, okay. Lord, I thank you. Ah, next time, if you give me another opportunity, I'm not going to Tarshish. I am not going to Tarshish. I will not go to Tarshish. I won't go to Tarshish. Ah, thank you. I thought I was dead. I thought I was dead. Oh, Lord. Ah, those who forsake this one, forsake them, pursue blind vanities. He preached all kinds of messages. I was a good boy. Somebody tickled the fish. The fish went and vomited him close to Nineveh. If Jonah was there saying, this is what you call deliverance. This is what you call deliverance, eh? My mates are flying in the air. There's no light here. Next thing, the fish will start secreting. You know they call secretion? Enzymes will start peeling the man's skin. If I don't even need to secrete, God will just remove the pocket of air. The man will now drown properly. And now see a story. Oh, there used to be one prophet in this place. And one day he entered a bad boat on a day that there was a storm. And Jonah now died. Let's stand for 2 minutes to remember the man Jonah. You will not know the man died of disobedience. Then I say, Satan killed him. Hey, stop taking God's glory and giving to that jobless devil. There are people that Satan cannot kill. One day I went somewhere and said, a man of God died, went to bury. Somebody said, hey, what about his diet? What was his diet like? I finally said, excuse me, man of God died, you're asking about diet? Like they have a saying in Yoruba land, Abanjono Embere Rumbu. Afanjono. You know what it means? Imam is on fire. So what about his beer? You know the way, you know they get long beer. You know what I say? What about his beer? Ah. They said, is it not the beer that started it? Was not when he bent over something. That the beer caught fire. That we are talking about death here. You're telling me about somebody's beard. That day I looked and said, man of God died? You're asking me his diet? Diet cannot kill a man of God. It's spiritual traits. He said, was he watching his food? Was he jogging? People have died jogging. At least die. When I say this now, people will be saying, Pastor Frank, you have come again. I've told you. There's no proof that people who jog live longer than those who don't. If you want to jog, jog. I used to jog too. I've stopped too. One day I just asked myself, Funky, whose wife did you collect? If you run up and down. I said, I beg, I'm not going for Olympics. I'm going to my house. Waiting. No, one day I just thought about it. There was all of this nonsense. The time I didn't wake up to pray, I was using it to run. Only when you just look at me like that, I wake up in the morning. Early in the morning, I don't wake up. 5. Don't wear my canvas. Wear the canvas. My house is down a slope, you know. I walk quick. They run off up that empty road. And walk down all the way to pocket area. They run back and run up that IMT hill. I'm feeling very righteous. And I get home 1 hour later. I feel fit. And I go and, you know, look for something to eat, get ready. You know, by that time, it's getting to dinner. It's like 6 o'clock, the day I started. I did that off and on like that for some time. Then one day, I examined myself. I said, Banky, when is the most valuable time to pray, to meditate, to study? It's not when you just wake up and your brain is fresh. Then you go and start running. Running to and fro. To and fro. Like the devil. And I said, no, I'm not going to do it again. I said, I'm not going to do it again. That was my reason. If I was the time that I could jog at 5, I would have continued. That is 5 p.m. But that early morning, I told my wife, please, can I buy a treadmill? Oh, I said, treadmill? I said, yes. She said, no. I said, why not? He said, the one you bought and put at the back, I have this contraption that I bought from one of those sports shops. I don't see you using it. So this treadmill will take our money and occupy the house. So is that your final answer? She said, yes. That's the final answer. I said, now, so I park jog, you know. I said, if I want to jog now, I know what to do. Carry my Bible and walk around the house. In the name of Jesus, the Spirit of Christ is working in me. It's giving life to my mortal body. Trust me, that one works. It works all the time. I'm not saying you shouldn't keep fit, though. I'm just saying that it won't prolong your life. Trust me, it will not prolong your life. You can keep, look, jogging for the sake of keeping fit is good, but it will not prolong your life. Just like some people like to jog, some people like to watch television. To me, both of them are similar to each other. That's what I think. So this man, are you sure you're a real doctor? I have my certificate, I can show it to you. You know, just by the way, God, let me get to my message. You know, science is very funny. Science is very, very funny. They keep changing their minds every day. Every day. For 30 years, they say, don't eat butter, don't eat egg, don't eat this, don't eat that. Why? It contains cholesterol. 20 years ago, I told my friends, that thing is a lie. That is a lie. Last year, or 2 years ago, they say, okay, sorry. Sorry. It's not true. Actually, those who eat butter have a healthier heart than those who don't. Did you hear what I said? Why? Because butter contains a particular fatty acid called margaric acid, which is cardioprotective. I said, Shevi, I've been saying, people thought I was joking. Okay, now don't see now. Then, they said, don't eat salt, it gives high blood pressure. Don't eat salt, it gives high blood pressure. Then finally, this year, they said, sorry, oh. The research that says salt gives high blood pressure was faulty. You know one of the reasons why science doesn't know anything? They don't investigate the right things. That's why they don't know a lot of things. For example, why do people live long? They start say diet. They can sit on checking diet for 30 years. And in the 30 years, they find that there's nothing. You know, many of you believe red meat is good, bad for you. White meat is good for you. Who told you? No, science didn't even say it. That's what you don't know. So these half-educated jokers who broadcast in town. Acidic food, basic food, lying to people. One day I sat down, a pathologist for goodness sake. I said, well, this red meat and white meat thing, where did it come from? I sat down, let me do a literature search. I was exhausted looking for the fact it does not exist. No, I don't want to eat that meat. Give me that one. Why? This one is white, this one is red. Many of these will believe they make no sense. They don't investigate many things. Live love. The Bible says, these are the things that make people live long. One, honor your father and your mother. It has never been investigated by science. Never. Two, who is it that desires long life? Keep your mouth from speaking evil. It has never been investigated by science. Do a study and check those who live long. How they honor their father, honor their mother. How they keep their mouth from speaking evil. You will have found out that the word of God is true. Anyway, you know, that was a digression from Babanjuno, Ambirinrobo, you know. Afa de Bon. Oh, we're asking for beer. That's a digression. The point I'm making is this. God demands that we judge, examine ourselves and judge ourselves. Very, very important. Very important. Now, I wanted to explain that don't let the world set its standards for us. No, let's not go with the world. The world tells us that if that business deal makes money, you have done well. No, the word of God says not necessarily. There are times the business deal makes money, you lose a spiritual substance. Look, the other day I was watching on TV, one program on CNN, and they were analyzing the success. They were analyzing mental problems in Silicon Valley. The mental problems there. One man, he was either Google or Facebook. He was one of the, a chief financial officer. You know what happened to him one day? He got up, walked to the front of a train. Train was coming full speed. He jumped in front of it. The train cleared him. I told my brother, I said, why don't they talk about these things in the news? I said, why will they talk about it? He said, they paint you a perfect picture of intelligent young men who become multi-millionaires before they are 28. And make it appear as if that is life. What they don't tell you is that things I say to you, I will be sounding like an African, but I'm not an African in that regard. I know it's the word of God. What they don't tell you that some of these people, oh God, people still bow to the devil. People still bow to the devil. There was a reason why Jesus said, what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and suffers the loss of his soul? What does that tell you? It is possible to gain the whole world. It is possible at the cost of your soul. It is possible to gain the whole world as the cost of your soul. It is possible. Bear that in mind. It is very, very possible. Many of people were following, were running after, looking after. God said, you don't know the cost of what this man is gaining. Say, you don't know the cost. Everything has a cost. Everything in life has a cost. That is why I preach that believers learn to succeed by what? Grace. You have to. I'm not saying believers fail. I'm saying you have to learn to succeed by grace. That is why I don't listen to any preacher on the area of success if he's too busy quoting people in the world. I don't listen. Like I say all the time, I can take lessons from here and there. Jesus said you can learn a lesson from the fig tree. But I'm very careful that Borghetti those days. He was the world's richest man. He was an oil magnate. Borghetti had money. He had everything. His son said it was a curse. That's what his son said. He said money was a curse to our family. The man gained the whole world. What he lost in the process, he didn't want to know. He lost his children, lost his marriages, and finally lost his mind. Literally lost his mind. You can go and Google it up. No stories I'm inventing. No. J.P. Getty. Last I read about the family was one of, I think the only surviving son came out of rehabilitation and sold their company to Texaco for $2 billion. Talking big money here. Yet one of them said money was a curse to our family. You can gain the whole world. But for God, that's what I was saying earlier. For him, these things are nothing. Like I said last time, Steve Jobs did not design the iPhone. That's what God said. Steve Jobs did not design the iPhone. I did. That's what God is saying. Nobody designed the iPhone. I did. Human beings don't have the mental capacity to design anything. I show them pictures. You think it's only temples I build in heaven? God said, no. You think it's only temples? You think when you get to heaven, everybody is there constructing one new temple after? Many people think the only thing that's happening in heaven is they are worshiping. Let's sing. Holy, are you Lord? You think when you get to heaven, only Nathan and the pastor will have a job? The rest of us are on our own. No. The Bible says the founder and builder of everything is whom? God. God is an architect. What are you talking about? He said, I am the Lord thy doctor. That's what he said. Literally. Literal Hebrew. You think what they do in heaven is to worship? Those things, that's what God calls worship. When you show forth his glory, that's what he calls worship. Oh, yes. God has wisdom to release to people. There are things people are looking up and are looking at God and say, hi, these boys. If they would just pray, give thanks, relax. If I open somebody's eyes, he will, with one simple panel like this, convert enough energy from the sun to power an air conditioner, and the panel won't be bigger than this. You know what the world is looking for now? You know, power is a major thing now because everything is going, you know, digital machines and everything. To power the machines, that's not the problem. They've learned to convert from the sun, from nuclear energy, but how do you store it when sun is not shining? Ability to store now. Hey, because if I give you technology, something as slim as this, a battery this size, you power one car from here, full charge, from here to Onitsha. That time you now put 10. Nobody's supposed to be that. You know, if God wants to impoverish the Arab nations, that's what he would do. Oh, yes, he'll just bring battery technology. That's it. We'll build nuclear plants, case it very well. Say, if you like, you know, erupt, we'll put you in a mass of concrete. You'll be safe for 1 million years. We'll have space. Storage is the main problem. And God is looking and say, if it's a store, I just give you one small bit of wisdom. To tap into that wisdom for us believers is grace. Yeah, it's grace, it's grace, it's grace. It's not by our own strength. We are forbidden to succeed at the loss of anything. We are forbidden from gaining the whole world and losing our souls. It is forbidden to him. Don't lose anything. Look, listen, many times we are pursuing. We run after the God. Say, collect it from that boy. Why? It's costing too much. What is all of this? Physically speaking, let's put it in physical terms. You pay equivalent of 10 million naira for what God says is not worth more than 10,000. But you don't know. Because you do not value things well. Many people are on drugs today. That is antihypertensive, anti-diabetic drugs, mental stability drugs, all of those things. Simply because God says they wake up too early. Why is he hypertensive? He wakes up too early. Why is he diabetic? He sleeps too late. Why is his mental state not correct? Those two things coupled with the fact that he worries a lot. God said, what is the value of his health in the area of hypertension, in the area of diabetes, and with his mental state? The value, God says the value. You know, God calculates differently, all right? So let's put it in real value terms. That's like 10 million naira a day. I said, Pastor Frank, are you serious? Michael Jackson was paying his doctors, the promoters were paying his doctor $200,000 a month to help him sleep. Break that down into naira. So God said, look, that's the value of his health. He said, but what is he making for all this guru guru guru? At the end of the month, he makes 2.5 million and he thinks he's succeeding. So God says, Michael, yes, my Lord, attention. Have you destroyed anything recently? Let me give you a job to do. Go to that church, burn that guy's factory. Michael will arrange some boys, will burn the factory down. And they say, why? He said, this boy is spending too much money for small change. He invests 10 million on a daily basis to make 2.5 million at the end of the month. That's not good. So they burn the factory. And the word of the Lord comes to him saying, don't build any other factory. I want you to sleep for 6 months. At the end of the 6 months, he will actually notice that one of his children has a dimple. He has not noticed. He has three children. The children did not know that one had a dimple. He said, hey, sweetie, you have a dimple. And the girl looking like, dad, are you serious about this? Looks at his wife's hair. Say, you have gray hair in some places. And his wife looking, you are just noticing that I have gray hair in certain places? The husband said, oh, sorry. You don't understand why God had to burn that factory. At the end of 6 months, the man, he has added weight. Doctors don't see why he should be taking drugs. Glucose control is all right. And all he has done is sleep well, prayed with his wife once a day. They give thanks together. He drops the children in school for the first time in his life. At the end of the day, when he has learned grace and has learned to value what is important, somebody now comes and says, please, one multinational says, please, we want to start a factory. We hear you have experience in running this. He says, yes. What's the value of the factory? They said, first phase, we are putting 2.5 billion naira down. By second phase, we are moving in 10, our second production factory. They said, you are the best person to do that. You have the experience. Okay, how much are you paying? They said, okay, well, we'll give you an upfront to start, 45 million naira to settle yourself, the monthly 5 million. What do you think? I say, and you're like, okay, all right, let's just increase. We can make this. You wanted to say, are you serious? But the guys think that you think you are not happy. This time around, they give you a driver, they give you a car, give you a house, give you everything. You now, of course, this time around, you wake up normally, you say, oh, please, I'm so sorry, I cannot. So those days of waking up by 4 a.m., it's gone. They say, no, you can work from anywhere, you know. We just need you to be the one in charge and coordinating everything. So you resume at all in the office by 9. Everybody work waits for you till 9. But by 9, you come at 9. And then you decide you love your daughter very well, so you promise her you'll be picking her from school at least 2 times a week. So there are days by 2 o'clock you must leave the office. You'll be back by 4, no problem. The company is prospering. They are singing your praises everywhere. Say, that man is so efficient. They don't know that the guy they pray, that is the kind of prayer when they pray. Nobody like before. I wake up in the morning and say, Lord, please don't burn this people's factory at their house. So that's not my home. Like I was saying, they're not losing money. They are making money. They are so happy. They are so happy with you. They say, please, we need you to come to South Africa for something. We have a meeting. The head office is over there. I said, where are we? Oh, Cape Town. Ah, you think. We're going to be gone for 2 weeks. You look your wife. As you're still thinking, they say, oh, you can come with your wife. Oh. Aha, it's all right. The Lord spoke to you. Do you get my point? And you're efficient. You're not lazy. I'm not saying you're lazy. You're still working. You are direct. The guys are making, production is going on. You really, the skill God has given you, you are bringing it to bear there. They are seeing the effect of it. Now you are not spending money again. Spiritually speaking, you're not spending what? Grace. I say, look at what this is producing. Somebody now comes to you and say, Obah, I take Duan. You say, Obah, I am what I am by the grace of God. I've just walked into other people's labor. I'm living in a house I did not build. These are practical things. You know the problem with Christians? Wait for God. That's what we can't do. We have to go the way everybody is doing it. Believe me, the main problem is that we don't calculate things well. These days, the one that Christians, no, I don't know what I create, but people do. Say, look, oh, the way education is going on in this country, you can't educate your children in this country. I'm taking my children to educate them in Canada. Educate them, you know, look, I'm going to Europe. I'm taking my children to Germany for education. And when you say such things, I say you don't calculate things. My education system is bad, but your children still clap in the morning in the assembly ground. They clap. They stand at attention while somebody reads the Bible on the assembly ground to them. They still give a Bible lesson. They still get flogged if they misbehave. Schools in Nigeria still pride themselves in that they are Christian schools. So the children must attend Bible studies. You don't value those things. What do you value? Access to internet. What do you value? Excursion to factories. What do you value? If they tell you, by today, they've told you the day of the final exam in 5 years' time. So, if I know the date of the final exam in 5 years' time, what difference does it make? If I don't know it, I will still graduate. Has life told you the date of your death? Do you stop living because of that? What are you talking about? You see, people, they value nonsense, rubbish. When they open their mouths, you want to be slapping them for God. Say, God, please, let me slap this guy for you. Please. People will put their wives and children and say, look, I want to put them where things are predictable. What they call predictable? Your child's teacher is going to be gay, and the child from the age of 6 is being taught it's a normal lifestyle. And your son comes back home one day with his ear pierced with earrings. And you can't talk. You dare talk, he calls the police. And the police can't see what you aggro, oh boy. The boy is trying to identify his identity. I read the story of one woman in Canada last week. She had a baby and said they shouldn't write male or female. That is going. She's going to wait for the baby to discover its identity. A child is being born and it's legal. If you say anything otherwise, and you tell me that that is the perfect way to raise children, and you don't want me to ask you whether you are mental? You now say that they take light here. God, take the light. Take it. I will educate my children with candle. If that's the alternative. My oldest son, I'm ready to teach him how to start a generator. Does that know how to be a man? What is it? I've told him how to switch change over. When you come to the changeover socket, make sure you're wearing slippers. Your hands must not be wet. Make sure it's dry. If it's not dry, leave it. Never, because, you know, children, you have to tell them things. Because they like to experiment. Don't ever pour fuel with artificial light. Fueling the generator must be during when there's natural light. Do you understand? Yes, Daddy. When you are fuel is very, it's very inflammable, though. Your teacher does it. Please, if you've not read my latest blog, go and read it. I call it Keep on Trucking. Please read it. Go to blog.pastorbanky.org or blog.pastor.ng. One day I just felt, what is all of this mess people make? I said, just manage your life. There's no light, sleep on the balcony. What is a big deal? Each day we pass. You see people talk nonsense. You just open their mouth. You know, I want my children to be exposed. To what? Not serious. I don't know why you value things. That's the problem God has with us. We don't know what is valuable. We take what is cheap. We buy it with what is valuable. You take a system where you can teach your children Bible. When federal government looks like they were not so sure or how the curriculum would be, Khan made noise. Even though I don't know, understand a lot of the noise, but Khan came out and spoke. And it's a national matter on what to teach my children. I want my children to go to a government school and learn Christian religion, paid for by the federal government and the state government. And we have the right to say that. And you tell me, just because you go on strike once in a while, you say it's a bad system. Because lecturers sell handouts, it's a bad system. What you pay Americans as school fees for 1 year is not to buy handout for 15 years. So buy the handout and stop complaining. Solve that problem. And by the way, go to a private school, they don't pay for handouts there. So they go on strike. After strike, they come back again. We don't know the date, so you know by now Americans will have told you, Canadians or Europeans will have told you the date of the final exam. Our own, we will discover at least 2 weeks before the exam. We will know. Keeps us on our toes. Eventually, we will all graduate. And this interesting part, forget all the noise they make for you. Forget all the noise. At the end of the day, our Nigerian boys take that same certificate. Read their book. It's whether you want to read book or not. It's not the system. Do you know? Forget Oyinbo. Oyinbo people are as ignorant. Yesterday, I stumbled on one program on BBC Family. So my children and I were watching this on TV. And they said, name one. You know, it was a BBC, a UK program. Two, you know, middle-aged white men were standing there. And one white man and a woman were on the other team. So a pair each, all right? And they were asking them questions. And you know what was shocking me? They were mostly UK questions. I was getting them, they were missing them. They said, name one country that ends with O. My children said Mexico. Two white men said Puerto Rico. I'm not kidding. This was yesterday. I had to shout that Puerto Rico is not a country. It's an American territory. I was shouting. My children were wondering, why is daddy making noise like this? I said, Puerto Rico is not a country. These were two British white men standing. They did not know. Of course, I don't have to tell you, they missed it. Then they said, name one chancellor of the, is it what they call it? Chancellor of the Exchequer. That's like their, is it finance minister, cum, CBN, gov, whatever, I don't know what, you know, is a top financial regulator in the UK. Name one that is a conservative in the last maybe many years. He said, name one. So I told my child, this one I won't know it. It's like somebody asking the Nigerian CBN governor. If you're not in Nigeria, you're not likely to know that. You know, that kind of thing. Then somebody said, Gordon Brown. I shouted again. I said, Gordon Brown? Yes, he was the Chancellor of the Exchequer at the time, but he's not a conservative. He became Prime Minister. He was a Chancellor under Tony Blair. And Tony Blair resigned for him to become Prime Minister. They are the Labour people. I was in Nigeria shouting, it is not true. It's not Gordon Brown. Guess what? I was correct. All the white people there did not know the story of their own country. Let nobody lie to you. I had to tell my children, don't be angry. Not every white man is educated. It's true. Mathematicians, physicists, scientists in Germany now are being recruited from India. India. In case you don't know it, India does not have a better system than Nigeria. They don't have. My brother had a friend in Lagos who did not leave. I think he went to UNILAG. From UNILAG, didn't do a master, didn't do anything, studied engineering or mathematics or computer science. And then he sat down and decided to start learning things. He got Cisco certification, Microsoft certification, and Oracle certification. Then one day he posted his CV online. Then one day they contacted him and gave him a job that was paying him $300 a day. How much? $300 a day. I didn't say a month though. Why? They needed people to go then to Afghanistan. Are you willing to go? The boy said yes. So they said, he's wondering, is it not risky? He said, no, now. There's not everywhere that they are fighting in Afghanistan. That the area where he is, there's no fight. And he doesn't spend a dime. He said he stays in his hotel on his computer and does his communications. He does all his work on his computer. So they pay him into his dorm account in Nigeria, $300 every day. At the end of the month, the guy has earned $9,000. The fun part, all certificates end in Lagos. Most of them spare time. Let nobody tell you all those lies, they lie. Education is what you want to read. If you don't want to read, that's your problem. The Americans that don't, with all the education system, US, you are making noise. When we get there, Nigerians are on record as the most educated in the United States of America. Not story, just go there. Type it. The most educated group of people are Nigerians in the US. The Americans themselves don't go to the school. Why are we that educated? We like to read. And when you have read before with lantern, when they give you constant light, you read some more. Yes. What I'm trying to say is not the environment that's first, it's the person. It's the person that is primary. It's the person, not the environment. And please, it's what you are looking for, you will see. If you want good schools, you will find them in Nigeria. You will find them. Don't lie to me. Don't lie to me. I'm just talking about people's value systems. That's the problem we have a lot of times. Our value system is wrong. We don't know how to place value on things. And God says, listen, if you don't learn it, I will teach you, but my lessons are bad. When the Holy Spirit is whispering to you, fine, that's when you learn it. When your friends are talking to you, learn it. But you will learn. You know why? This is why you are going to learn. Because I will not leave you or forsake you. Is that not the word of God?
Yes.
He said, I will never leave you or forsake you. That's God for you. How do we interpret that? Anytime I need money, God will bring money. No, God says, yes, that is true. But anytime you are spoiling, I will also flog you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. If I say a man's life does not consist in the abundance of things which he possesses, you don't want to listen, no problem. I will let you gather. You will invest. You will build a house. You will buy a car. You will amass 100 million naira. When you suddenly feel happy and say, so rest. I will destroy everything in 1 week. You will check whether your name is Job or not. He says, my name is Job. No, I'm Michael. I'm Michael. Call your wife. Please call me. Your wife will say, honey, Michael, is there a problem? You'll be wondering. In 1 week. And then when you start feeling like Job, you now remember that with Job, he started with his property. And next, what? You say, God, please, wait, wait. You say, Lord, please, tell that angel to hold that sword. Angel. Say, Lord, please, I'm sorry. What is the problem? A man's life does not consist in the abundance of things which he possesses. You say, amen. There are people that God will show. God will help them. God will destroy 5, 6, 10 years of work in 1 week. Just to make a point to them. And it's not the devil. Yes. And like I said earlier, he said, that's more valuable to me. There are those that have sold their sleep for prosperity. God said, that sleep is needed for your advancement in life. It is written, I give to my beloved even while they sleep. You have not been sleeping. You have denied my gifts. You have been walking by flesh. Everything built by flesh must be judged. It will pass through fire. Why? Because I love you. And I will never leave you. Neither will I ever forsake you. The judgment of God, that's what it does for us. It's love. God loves us so much. Say, you are not going to hell. That's what he says. I won't let you go. I will flog you into heaven. I will beat you till you run crying into the gates, the pearly gates, like they say. But I will never leave you, nor will I ever forsake you. He said to them, when he was speaking to David, he said, your sons, I will never remove my loving kindness from them. See, if they forsake me, if they disobey me, I will chastise them with the rod of men. But I will never remove my loving kindness from them. That's what God, the Lord, is doing. And he's teaching us to value what is important. He said, judge yourself. Examine yourself. Examine what you are pursuing in life. As a child of God, listen to me. Material pursuit is zero. What's most important to you is that two things. One, that I might walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please him in all respects and to bear fruit in every good work. Two, closely tied to it, is that the image of Christ is formed in me better and better every day. That by the time I'm done with this life, they look at Jesus, they look at me, they don't know who's who. In my thoughts, listen, let me tell you, this world then is temporal. I hope you know Aliko Dangote is not the richest man in heaven. I hope you know Bill Gates' money cannot buy him eternity. I hope you get my point. Listen, this world is temporal. It's literally temporal. And Paul said we must set our affections on the things that are above. Every material thing is a tool. God has helped me in this life. If I see a man that is very, very rich, it's worth, let's use Naira terms, hundreds of, no, billions and billions of Naira. You know the truth? God sees my heart. I don't envy him. You know why I don't envy him at all? He doesn't have any meaning as far as I'm concerned. What is he paying for sleep? I don't know. My own sleep is sweet. But that's not even where I'm going. I look at his money as what? An assignment that I don't have. I don't have to build a factory that refines petroleum products. I don't have to build a refinery. That's Aliko Dangote's job. So $16 billion is not money he has. It's a job he has to do. I don't know whether you get my point. God said, Banky, if I were to value, let's use monetary terms, you will be surprised, because I won't be anyway, I understand things, that the value of messages on your website is more than $16 billion. So Aliko Dangote is producing refined products, right? I am producing refined word. Each person doing his job. Some women are producing refined children. Yeah. Are you getting my point? Some people are producing refined education. When they stand, children pay attention to them. They impart knowledge with the fear of God into the children. Is Dangote richer than them? No. They are doing their job. He's doing his own. His job is $16 billion in a factory, in a refinery. Produce refined products from crude. Produce petrochemicals. Employ tens of thousands. God looks at the banky. Do you want that? No, you shouldn't want it. It's another person's job. What's your job? Enlighten people. Enlighten them. One of our brothers the other day was telling me, his father was a soldier. All right? When his father was talking to him about his life, he told his father, have you ever sat down with a general before? The father said, no. He said, but I have stood, and the general has knelt down for me to pray. So the father relaxed. And his father was a soldier. He understood a general knelt down for you. He said, yes. I may not have money, but believe me, people you worship kneel down for me. He told his father that a general has knelt down for me to pray. A general will see me and bow and say, Pastor. Are you getting my point? That's how I value things. I don't have the job you have. That's all it means. It doesn't mean you are richer than me. If what do you produce? You produce salt. You produce sugar. You produce petrol, right? Dangote. I'm talking about Dangote as an example. Cement. Produce a lot of cement. What do you do with cement? You build houses. That's perishable. With the words that I release, those who grab it, in eternity they will be talking about it. God, do your job. I do my job. To envy you means I don't have sense. Are you getting my point? And if you're a believer, understand that's how life is. This money thing is a job. It's not an acquisition. It's a job. It's a job. Do your own. My own job does not involve the trading with cash. And the world cannot value it. That's a matter of fact. The world cannot value it. And this is not just about me, a preacher. That's how it is with believers. Everywhere you go, you are supposed to radiate divinity into the place. That doesn't have value, physically speaking. It's invaluable. It's priceless. Why would not somebody now be comparing yourself with somebody else? For what? For what? For what? I like the job God has given me. I love where He has placed me. I want to exchange what I am for what somebody else is. I won't. Believe me, I'm having the time of my life. I am. Because no day passes, I won't get a report of lives that have been changed because they listened to what I said. To me, that's value. That's money. It's not physical cash, but that's what life is about. How am I impacting somebody? People will be exchanged. Listen, you know what Jesus said? Examine yourself. Examine your motives. Examine what is important to you. Examine yourself. And the body of Christ, listen to this. In the body of Christ, the season has come when God will teach us as a church serious lessons in life. God says, I will break buildings that you guys invested billions of naira in it. I will break it. I will crumble it in one day. And it's not the Muslims that did it. In fact, I'm going to do such a manner that I won't even use Islamists to bomb anybody again. David Pawson said, they rehabilitated a cathedral in London for the cost of, I think, £8 million. I've forgotten the exact figure, but a lot of millions of pounds. I said, God just wanted to teach them a lesson. A lightning struck on a day that was very clear, very little cloud, no rain. Yet, lightning struck and destroyed the building. What was striking was that, one, I mentioned the fact that there's no rain, there was no serious cloud,
But they had installed the most modern lightning defense system. Lightning conductor system had been installed in the building. God broke it to show them that he doesn't care about buildings made with brick and mortar, with iron rod. They are destroying the real temple. They are building a physical one. So he destroyed it. And I think he's going to do it for us in Nigeria. Oh, he's going to do it. He's going to disgrace us as a church so well. The next time we see a money-raising preacher, we'll by ourselves carry ourselves and leave the place. Oh boy, please don't bring wahala to this place. Next time you see, oh, prosperity, God is about to make somebody rich today. So, God, I don't want to be rich. Thank you very much. The Bible says those who want to be rich, they pierce themselves through with many sorrows. Leave on like that. Remember what one of our brothers said? He went for Wafbeck. I attended another church in Lagos. They met him in Wafbeck where ministers are gathered to hear the word, to preach the word. Somebody said, is this your church? What are you doing in this place? He said, my church, our pastor teaches a lot about success and prosperity. He said, oh boy, we don't prosper. We can't look for Jesus. That's what he said. He said, we have prospered. We thank God for it, but we need to find Christ. I wish somebody would record that and go and show his pastor. So, God, listen to what one of your church members said. That you have taught them success. You've taught them how to prosper. Now they are looking for Christ. What does that mean? They didn't find Christ all these years they were with you. Let's bow our heads and pray.